I'm still laughing. So I don't know how much people saw before we went live just then, but I jokingly said, what are we talking about? And Zach said, I don't know. And then it pops up, broadcast is live. And I was like, oh, crap. And then we rolled into the intro. So
I really hope somebody did see that.
On that note, happy Thursday, everyone.
Happy Thursday. This has been a week. That's all I got to say. This has been a week. That's it. Have a good week. Zach? Oh, gosh. We have just been so swamped. Yeah, we've been. Hey, wait a minute. What's that right there? That's a good looking logo.
I don't want to see it.
You're just jealous because you don't have one yet.
Yeah, it's in the mail.
I've got this one, and I got my hat sitting. I should wear my hat next time.
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody who's catching us new for the first time, Zach's holding up his Hustle Machine, my logoed mug.
Yeah, man.
That's our podcast, which starts soon-ish. So we just got to finish the episode. But no, this has been a crazy week because we've been working on this killer proposal for this company, and it's just like, I don't know how many pages it is now. It feels like it's 15 or 20 pages, and we got to get it all printed out and sent out.
It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's this big, big, big rigmarole. But that's what it's like to be an entrepreneur. Always hustling, always trying to make it happen because nobody else is going to do it.
I wish somebody would do it for me. But I will say, I feel like being an entrepreneur, there's so much you have to learn. And you always hear the saying, you wear many hats. I know tons of people can relate to that. I don't even think you have to be an entrepreneur for that to connect, but specifically speaking towards an entrepreneur, it's just, there's days where I love what I do. Don't get me wrong, but there's times where you're just like, man, a 9-to-5 doesn't sound too bad.
I'm like, are they hiring?
Oh, look at that. Starbucks is hiring.
I can be a barista.
I know that sounds bad. Like, I'm not trying to say we hate what we do. It's more or less of there's stress that comes on that I think most people don't understand. You get stress at regular jobs. I'm not trying to say that. But I feel like there's an added level that happens.
We got that person the other day who was like, "Oh, you work for yourself. It must be super easy. It must be nice. Blah blah blah." And we're like,
"Oh my gosh, I do."
If I'm not,
I wanted to.
Bills aren't getting paid.
I wanted to punch them. I really did. Yeah. They literally said to me, "Oh, it must be nice. You just get to work from home and you run your own business. So you could just set your schedule and you can do the things that you're telling, you're talking about that we should be doing or whatever." I was like, "You're right. My schedule is just exactly what I want it to be." No, it's not. I have a framework of how my day to go. Well, not just that, but it's like, I think there's this misconception. This is not the topic for today, by the way. We'll get into that in just a second. This is just a rant. I think there's a misconception as an entrepreneur, a small business owner, and anybody that's working from home that's earned it, even if you negotiated it with your company. Gosh, my hands look really big when I do that. Look at that. Because my head's so far away. My hands are really not that big. But
what do I do with my hands?
I feel like there's this misconception that happens with working from home and entrepreneurs is that, you get to have the flexibility to do whatever you want. And yes, that is true to an extent, but like you said, you earned it. And secondly, this week I have not done anything that I really wanted to do with my schedule because it's just been absorbed with all these other things. And it's just, that happens. I have weeks where I can stick to my schedule and I can do what I want to do, but there's weeks where it's not. And this is one of those weeks where it's not.
I think a lot of people get into their head those really crappy Facebook ads that are like, "You want to be an entrepreneur and go on vacation for 6 months and go hang gliding in the Maldives or I don't know, whatever, anywhere in the world. I don't know. But like, you know, I see all these ads and it's like, do you want to live this life? Mm-hmm. You know, they're like teaching like this entrepreneurship prosperity model. And it's like,
yeah,
we know a lot of people. I don't know anybody who does that. I've only ever,
I mean, I know a
guy who actually would travel like to different spots throughout the year globally. And he would just work from there. But he still had a home base, but like, I don't know. I don't see that as being like the model that a lot of people who actually are entrepreneurs live. But I think that's a perception that a lot of people have, that it's easy breezy, right? And that's not it. But also, that's not what we're talking about today.
I think that we should talk about that at some point. I want to flesh that out a little bit before we do it, because I feel like I'll end up saying something that may hurt people's feelings, or I might. I don't know. So that's why I want to be careful.
You offend somebody, Chris is going to give you a high five.
Boom. Yeah. Say what you mean. He's like, your show is getting pushed all the way. Yeah, Chris, are you there? If we offend somebody, what happens then? We have not followed up on the bet yet. Chris has not appeared on the show.
I think he said he ordered some merch.
Okay, so when that comes in, we promise we're going to have him on here, and he's got to we got to come up with something there. He's got to do with that red and black on, you know. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So today, one of the things that Jason and I kind of pride ourselves on, and we've won a lot of business this way and with customers this way, is being, we just, okay, Nikki Brown says on this topic, it's interesting because I've been feeling like the perception of entrepreneurs should be discussed. Yes. You know what? Let's do that next week. Next week we will do that, because I think there is something that is huge on that I think that most people don't talk about. And there's this misconception. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm fired up about it because it makes me angry. Because I think there is like this misconception that is out there that just, I get, man.
Yeah. Hey, Nikki.
Nikki, you're getting me heated up.
Cool down, bud. Nikki, if you want to drop us some like suggested like questions or anything that you'd like to actually have us discuss, feel free to drop that in there.
Yeah, please do.
Because Zach and I like to just kind of have conversations, which is what we do here. That's why we like the live show. We like to people to comment in and give us feedback, because we like to work off of that instead of just having Zach and I just talking at each other, you know, for half an hour. So.
Yeah, not just that, but I think also with it just flows better when it's more of a conversation. And, you know, oftentimes Jason and I don't talk about off camera what we're going to say. And we just get on here and start talking about it, and I feel like that. I guess we're letting a little behind the curtain, pulling the curtain back a little bit. But so, what are we talking about? So, one of the things that Jason and I we pride ourselves on. Over 9 minutes in, we're just not introing.
Well, no. But here's the caveat, and we'll get to what we're talking about by minute 10. I promise you. What we've been doing for the last 9 minutes is what we're going to be talking about today. Am I right?
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good segue. I like that. Yeah, because me and Jason have pride ourselves on something that this is exactly what you're talking about today. And I have 30 seconds to get it out. And it's something that Jason and I are very good at. And that is building rapport with people pretty quickly. Oftentimes,
for 10 minutes.
I was going to, no, not 10 minutes, for 10 seconds. And just freeze. No, but building rapport with people, clients, we've done on our old podcast, we did a lot of interviews, and we clicked with people. And so we're going to talk about how to build that rapport, but then also there's things that Jason and I have learned with specific clients and specific interviews where one of us is not clicking with that person and we're both on the call and it's like, okay, you shut up, the other person, you drive the ship,
And it's not just one person over the other. There's been times where I felt like it was clicking, and you can clearly see, nope, it is not. They are clearly clicking with Jason right now. I'm going to stop talking.
Because I have a vibe, man.
But it reverses, you know? I'm thinking of one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, who are you thinking of? You're going to call him by
name. I was thinking of... No, I'm not going to call him by name, but I was thinking about one particular person. I think you know who I'm talking about. Jason was the first person to originally talk to this person, and he felt like it went really, really well. Then we got on a call where I just talked to this person, and it did not go very well. But mostly because... Mostly because she was he or she was mad there was a follow-up, but however they did not check emails, they did not check their phone messages, and actually their voicemail is full. It's full to this day. Like every time I try to get in touch with this person, it's always full. And it just annoys me to no end. But the point I'm making is like, now that person really likes talking to me. This person doesn't ever talk to me again. He or she doesn't ever talk to Jason anymore. Like, I've driven out to meet with this person multiple times when we don't normally, we do if it's a local person. But this person, I mean, it's a good hour drive one way.
He or she may or may not be within a 1 hour radius.
I don't care at this point. I'm not trying to, like, I'm saying there was a rapport that was built, and now it's like, I can talk to this person and we can have like a regular conversation. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we talk now, and it's good now.
But the whole point is that sometimes, especially if you're in a situation where you're not by yourself, you're not like a solopreneur, and you're running your business solo. A lot of times, Zach and I have the benefit. I'm gonna say Jason and I, Zach and I have the benefit of being able to see who connects the best, right? And so on calls, usually on first calls, Zach and I will keep our messenger open, you know, so we use Slack as a team and we'll message back and forth. We're like, hey, make sure we ask this question, or hey, make sure you bring this point up. But also it's like, hey, maybe let me take it for a second. And usually the other person will be like, whew, okay, go for it. I'll take notes, you know? So I think it's understanding the signals quickly, you know, within the first couple of minutes, and just guiding. And you know, Zach and I have the added benefit of working together for nearly 10 years and being friends for almost twice that. So, you know, I think it's really important that you find, especially if you're in a two-person team or greater, that you find that person who kind of clicks the most and kind of defer to them. That's something that Zach and I have been doing a little bit more often, is since we'll both be on calls, we usually let one person take lead the conversation, lead the discussion, maybe the other person take notes and then chimes in.
Yeah. I think that, if you're doing it by yourself, building rapport, you must be invested in today's topic. I'm a nail artist, and it's something that I battle with because I'm an introvert, and working with clients is not easy for me.
Okay. Here's a funny thing. So I'm extremely introverted.
Yeah, that is very true.
I am not an extrovert. I don't enjoy having new conversations with
people. It stresses him out. Like
with new people. Yeah. It causes me a lot of stress. I get in my own head when I'm in the middle of the conversation. I'm like, that sounded dumb. Why did you say that? That was a really dumb thing to say. Look at that person. Look at their face now. Nobody wants to hear you say that. Why would you say it that way? Your voice sound weird right now? Am I saying this out loud? I don't know what's happening right now.
Why is my voice higher? Yeah. Why is my voice getting higher?
I get super in my head, but I find that when I'm having a conversation, especially on Zoom, because 95% of our client meetings are on Zoom now, I find that when I do a little bit of research beforehand, that helps a lot. I feel that I also am looking for big kind of clues, like social clues or something like that. Say the person arrived to the meeting, they mentioned something. Zach can speak to this point, kind of how we had our first, I think one of our first meetings with Chris. Zach noticed something and we use that to develop rapport. Kind of looking for clues around the environment, and then also getting that person talking by asking open-ended questions and finding, trying to find quickly what that person is really interested in. And but also, some people aren't talkers, right?
So that's true. People, that is so some true. Some
people don't want to chit chat, and you have to take that on as a pretty quick clue. And we have great conversations and great relationships with customers who aren't chit chatty. They want to get down to business. You set a meeting for 15, 30 minutes, and you know that meeting's only going to be about five, but it's going to be a fine meeting. You're going to say hello. You're going to get your nice things aside, and you're going to get down to business, because for them, that is a good relationship, is being able to quickly and effectively tell you what they need, you quickly, and you quickly understand that, ask any questions that you have, and then you're off and running because that person's busy. And to them, that is a good relationship, is by being able to effectively communicate. So just also, also about knowing the person.
Yeah, I think to add to what you're saying, like, Nikki, you're kind of in a unique situation where talking about current topics or things that are going on, that has to get exhausting, because one, you have somebody else coming and sitting in front of you. So it's like, am I going to have the same conversation over and over and over and over and over and over again every day with somebody different? I like what Jason, you said there, is finding something you can immediately connect with. She's like, yes, the mess of it. Which words?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not always. There's somebody at your door.
Yeah, I know. I haven't found out a way to mute my Google Home while we're on these calls right now.
So. Listen, now I'm an extrovert. I do like to talk. Mm-hmm. Nikki did not offend me. Don't worry. But like my wife, she's an introvert. She's very similar to Jason. Meeting somebody new stresses her out, and talking, mm-hmm. having to talk to them and come up with, all right, there's a pause in the conversation. What do I need to say? Need to fill the space. I can relate to that a little bit. But I feel like one thing that I try to do is I understand where introverts are coming from. Like, I get it. Like, so if I know that, I try to do more of the talking, because it mm-hmm. puts them more at ease, right? So I try to make sure that I fill the spaces for them so that there's not that closed, like I'm coming up with topics to talk about so that they don't have to feel like there's a stress happening. So if you see that with if somebody you're talking to is like that, since you're an introvert, Nikki and Jason, I think just finding something quick that you can notice on them that they're wearing that you can connect with, and just like Jason said, ask these open-ended questions and just let them talk. Just let them talk. And I think that oftentimes, because most people like to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do.
Their kids, people like to talk about their kids. People like to talk about stuff that annoys them too. So if you're up to listening to that, people like to vent. I have a little anecdote here. So several years ago, I had started to try and workshop an idea for a podcast, for a solo podcast. I'd done the show artwork. I even reserved a domain, I think, too. And it was a show where I would interview people about their life, about their jobs, what they do, what they're passionate about. And one of the goals of the show was to never have to never use the phrase, "So what do you do?" because I feel like for me as an introvert, I tend to default to a couple of things when I'm in a social situation. And when I'm meeting someone new and I don't know anything about them, I'm like, so what do you do? And I hate that. Like, yes, it could lead to conversation. Yes, it could lead to like an engaging anecdote that we could share years to come, years down the road. But like, that's such a like a common thing that people say. So my goal was to always say the phrase, what are you passionate about? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that would lead to a meaningful conversation, right? So I think that's one thing that I would really like to suggest that maybe Nikki and our other listeners do is maybe don't rely on some of those things that you kind of always fall back on, where you're trying to always use the same things, because everybody's not the same. So I say all that to say, maybe try that. Maybe try asking somebody what they're passionate about. Like, what's your passion?
Yeah.
For a lot of people, that's not their job, right? That's not what they do during their 9 to 5. They're not passionate about that. They do that to pay the bills. So I feel like that could lead to meaningful conversations, because say here, let's just try this. So if I'm meeting somebody for the first time, I'm like, okay, so what do you do? I keep the books for a law firm. Okay. They obviously hate that. They don't want to talk about that. And you've likely stalled the conversation out and started off on a bad note. But, oh, hey, great to see you today, blah, blah, blah. So tell me, and this might sound weird, what are you passionate about? I'd love to hear about it. Now that I'm Nikki, for example, like you're sitting there, I don't know how long a nail session is, but I'm assuming it's not super fast. So, you know, maybe that's something that you lead with. Cause I think people would love to talk about that, because maybe they have an Etsy store, or maybe they do a lot of work for a local charity, or maybe they love running and would like to talk to you about running. Like, you know, it's finding things that people are passionate about. That's what continues a conversation. So, for example, Pat talking about, you know, passions, in our first meeting with Chris here at Winject, Zach, what did you notice throughout the conversation that Chris was passionate about?
So one of the things he talked about pretty early on in our conversation, he noticed my Atlanta banner over here. We're in suburbs of Atlanta. And which, by the way, here we say Atlanta. We don't say Atlanta. So just a side note. But we were at no one says Hotlanta. That's not a thing. No. It's definitely not a thing. But one of the things we talked about was he saw that and he says, I'm a massive Braves fan. Now, I grew up playing baseball my entire life, played since I was 4 or 5 all the way up till I graduated high school. We started talking about the Braves. Like, Braves are also my favorite. I mean, when you live in Atlanta and you're living in some of the best baseball in the country with the Atlanta Braves, in the legacy they have, especially in our generation, we just started striking up a conversation, have a conversation about that. He mentioned that Del Murphy was one of his favorite Braves player of all time. So I did a quick search online to see if I could get like a Del Murphy bobblehead or something like that. We found one and we purchased it, boxed it up, shipped it out to him. And that built rapport, because it was something we could talk about later. It's just saying, hey, listen, I remembered I listened a small little second. I mean, cause he said it in passing, cause we didn't really talk about it much after that. We started getting down to some business. And I remember him saying, Del Murphy's like my all-time favorite player, blah, blah, blah. And he talked about, he had a jersey or something like that. And then we moved on. I think finding some of those things that you can, reference back to. So not necessarily Nikki or whoever's listening, not necessarily you have to spend money on purchasing something to give to the person. Yeah, sure. That's great. And that works. But just remembering something, the lady who cuts my hair, which I need to get a haircut soon. She is really good at this. And I believe she's an introvert. And,
she remembers so much. And she, I mean, she's same thing, Nikki, where she's got somebody coming and sitting in her chair every 30 to 45 minutes, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how quick it is, but, and she remembers things like, and now she's been cutting my hair for 5 years, but even early on, she, when I sat down in the chair again, she remembered my kids' names. Like, I don't know how she does it, but she did it. And like, she remembered kids' names, like all this stuff. And so,
well, I think one of the big things right there is that, to build rapport, to build real rapport, it's got to be genuine. And
that's true.
So like, for me, I know that when we're having a conversation about baseball, I'm not going to tune out, but I'm just going to sit there. I'm nod my head because that's not my thing. It's not something that I can be like genuine about. Like, yeah, I can talk about old school Braves, like in the time of Dale Murphy or early 90s Braves, you know, I can talk about that, but anything.
Sid Bream round in the corner. You remember Sid Bream round in the corner?
Yeah, Otis Nixon up on the wall, 1 foot. See, I can talk about that all day.
But still get chills, man.
Current baseball stuff, it just doesn't do anything for me. And I know that I can't be genuine about that. And yeah. I know that, okay, let me let Zach take lead. And so, you know, you can have a conversation, you can talk about that, but you're not going to build true rapport unless you're genuine about it. And it sounds like your hairstylist, she's genuine. Like she is
100%.
She's interested in the lives of the people that she works with. And that's a great thing because she's engaging with a lot of people, you know, at a high volume. And so when she's truly interested, it comes across because you obviously go back there. I've been going to the same place for 13 years. I started when they opened their hair salon and I've been going back ever since. My dad goes there. My grandfather goes there and I take my kids there now. So, because I know that when I go, it's going to be a simple conversation. She's not going to talk my ear off because I don't like that. And because she takes my lead, she's good at building rapport. She knows, she greets me. She says, hello. She asks me about my kids because she knows I like talk about my kids. She asks me how my dad's doing because he gets his hair cut there too. And she knows my dad. And then we might chit chat for a second and then that's it. She gives me a quick haircut and I go because that's the kind of experience that I like. Now I've seen her engage with other people and she'll chit chat the whole time they're in the chair because she's really good at taking lead. And I think that's an important part of building rapport is effectively understanding and quickly understanding what that person's looking for and then being genuine about it. Right.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things too, with her, the hairstylist is we talk a lot about running a business because that's obviously she's the owner. I didn't say that at the beginning, but she is the owner, and so it's it's something that me and her can connect on because she gets what it's like and I get what it's like, and she's kind of been part of, I mean, she's been coming here for 5 years, so she's kind of seen the development of where we're at now, seeing how it's progressed and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
I think it just comes down to go ahead.
No, fine, go ahead.
I just think it comes down to being genuine. I think it comes down to being authentic, being true to yourself. I think having a stack of go-to questions, especially if it's somebody new, that you can easily pull up, and taking notes as far as what worked for, what kind of open-ended questions got people talking. Because as soon as somebody starts talking about themselves and you connect with them on that topic, you're golden. Because that's what people want. They want to feel connected.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think that it's not really, we're sitting here talking and I'm thinking like, oh, maybe that is a technique. So my wife calls this thing that I do when I'm meeting new people, or not necessarily meeting new people, but working with certain people. Or having a conversation with somebody who speaks differently than me, I tend to go into chameleon mode and to try and match it. So if we're dealing, you know, we're here in the South of the United States. When we deal with clients who have a deeper accent, I find myself, you know, not purposefully doing it, but rolling into a a looser way of speaking, a looser
accent. I do the same thing. Yeah, my wife laughs at me because.
Go ahead.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, my wife laughs at me because when I talk to my dad, because my dad has more of a southern draw, I guess you could say, and it comes out then for me. It's usually when I'm talking to my family.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's. I know that we've been hanging out with my family for a while. If I start to sound like that a little bit more often, like if I can hear myself doing it, I know that my wife, who's a speech language pathologist, has heard me doing it for quite some time. But I feel like that's something that it's like I unknowingly am trying to match them and mirror themselves, because people like to speak to a mirror. I'm unconsciously matching them, either the way they speak or maybe mannerisms even, to try and meet them and provide a certain level of comfort in order to build that rapport, you know?
Yeah. Well, Nikki, I said at the beginning, you posted on here just a few minutes ago, if you're still listening, that you are going to take some notes and try some things out. We'd love to maybe get you on the show sometime and just chat with you about that and see how that goes, and even talk about entrepreneurs. You know, like, we'd love to hear more about what you're doing and highlight more of what you're doing and what you're trying to do. So we'd love to have you on the show. So reach out to us. We'd love to get connected and see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, and if you're not part of the community already, head over to winjack.com head over to at Winjack Studios or any of the other channels available. Or text 843-396-2104, and you can join the community directly with the message app, and that gives you links and notifications whenever the community is going live or any updates happen. So make sure you guys connect. Not just Nikki, everyone. Nikki primarily, because that's who we're talking to today.
Where's Paul been, man? Where's Paul?
I don't know. We're going to have to find him. There's Nikki. Can you put that up, Carolyn? I'm here taking notes for sure. I'll register after the live ends. I was online on Monday too and love Chris's energy. Yes, Chris has more energy than all of us combined. especially when he gets talking about something that he's really pumped about. He will drop some bombs. So
let's see if we can get Nick on the show soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
So what about, like, if somebody's not clicking? So if you're just not, you don't feel it happening, what do you do?
Well, it depends. So I think if you ever watch New Girl?
Yes.
You ever watch New Girl? Okay, you know Nick does the awkward moonwalk out of the room. Like,
yeah.
You don't do that. But... You know, if you're in a pair, right? If you, like, Jason and I are on a call together, it's easy because the other person just starts talking, and let them do it. If you find yourself in the situation by yourself, I think it's okay to be like, "This isn't going to work. This is just, you know, like," and that's okay. I think you may
say that.
No, but I think if it's a client, it may just not be a good fit. Because you do want the money, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to get the money. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to work with this person a lot, over and over and over again. So, not forcing it just to force it so that you can, it's just going to make for an awkward time. Every client we've ever worked with, Jason, one of us has clicked with them. And sometimes, Jason will rotate. So like Jason knows, okay, that's his client. Like, you're the one that's got to talk to him because they do not listen to me. They do not like talking to me. I can sense that, and that's okay. But if it's by yourself, I think you just, you know, cut your ties and move on, and just realize it's probably not going to work out. Now, Nikki's situation where you have somebody sitting in your chair, maybe assess whether they're an introvert. And then, like Jason said, when he goes to his hairstylist, he sits in the chair and she knows not to ask a whole lot of stuff. Jason just wants to get his hair cut and then get out. So I think it's one of those situations where you sit down and you go, is this person, maybe they're just not a talkative person. That's just it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do what I need to do and let them be on their way. And there's no hard feelings there. So if there's anger involved, I think you got to try to figure out how you de-escalate the situation and get to the root and just be as calm as you can. But,
you know, I think that something you might be able to do, I'm not sure on the layout of your studio or salon, but maybe it's something as simple as keeping some literature, maybe like a magazine or a newspaper or something nearby that's, you know, current or gives people options to flip through. Maybe you see them, maybe you have it like in the lobby if they're waiting and you see them pick it up and read through it.
Yeah.
And then put it back down when they leave. Like, oh, hey, did you check out the new copy of such and such? And they're like, oh, yeah, I was reading about that. And so even then, you're using cues from within the environment to develop that situation and push it forward. But I think something as simple as that, to where they have some things to look at, to browse, because there's a certain level of interest. Like, oh, hey, what's on the cover? Let me look through it. Oh, there's an article. I'll read through this while I have time. And maybe, you know, you can use that to start a conversation. Or you have either music playing or, you know, it's like, I love this song. You know, I think any kind of context clues or any kind of environmental thing to try and take notice of, even something as simple as maybe the person's wearing sandals and, you know, like, hey, you know, I love those sandals. You know, I used to wear, when I was in college, I used to wear sandals every single day. So much so that I ended up having heel problems. I loved it so much. And, you know, you have a funny anecdote or some story that you can connect with it. So I think everything kind of goes into that bag of tricks that you have that will only grow the more conversations you have. So,
yeah. Yeah, I have a good flip-flop story, but I'll share that another time, I guess. I think that's a good point, Jason. Context clues, putting things purposely in place so that you can draw out some sort of conversation, comment on what they're wearing, comment on music, or you can always go to some political topics if you want. That's always a bad idea. Stay away from that one. Politics, so next week,
religion, just dive right in, stay away. Get messy.
Yeah.
No, don't get messy if you want to develop rapport. That's a dangerous, dangerous way.
That's right. And just, you guys keep an ear out. Hustle Machine is coming down the track. I am so excited. I cannot wait. And speaking of that, let's wrap up here, Jason. I think next week what we'll do is we'll talk about what it means to be an entrepreneur, the expectation or the, not the expectation, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically what I'm saying is like what people perceive being an entrepreneur is like.
Misconceptions.
Misconception. That's it. What's the misconceptions? Nikki, put in some of those that you have that you've seen or people talk to you about. Because we'd love to add that. If you're listening to, if you have some, feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear some of those as well, so that we can add those in part of the show. We like to interact with you guys and pull some stuff out of you guys as we talk. So,
awesome.
That's it. So we'll talk about that next week. Thanks for joining today.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Later.
Cast is brought to you by WinCheck Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.